It's such a friendly place.
And today's Focus programme is introduced by Jules Alderson.
Thank you so much for joining us here today for Hospital Radio's Focus episode. Today I'm here at the RSPCA in Norwich to find out about everything that happens here. So could we make a start by finding out who you are and what your role is here at the RSPCA in Norwich?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Beth Rose and I'm the Animal Welfare Manager here at the RSPCA Norwich.
What does being an animal welfare manager involve?
As the manager, no 2 days are the same here for my role and the animal welfare officers. For me, I can have days that are quite office-based, where I have lots of admin and kind of paperwork things to do, obviously being a support for all of the team. But also I have days where I will be out doing kind of consultations at the vets with the animals that we have. Sometimes we'll be out to relinquish animals into our care from members of the public. No 2 days are the same here at all. So it can be quite tricky to kind of explain everything that we do because it's never the same.
That sounds like it must keep you interested and busy then all
yes,
the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Before we talk more about the charity, could you just give us a bit of an introduction for people who aren't familiar with what the RSPCA do?
First of all, we as a local independent branch, we are separate to the National RSPCA, which I think for a lot of people can be quite confusing as well. So we cover mainly kind of the Norfolk and Suffolk, sort of central Norfolk and the top of Suffolk area. We basically work more locally. We do things like bring animals into our care for rehoming, and then we go through the process of getting them better if they need it and then help them to find new homes. We also do work alongside the National RSPCA, so we have the RSPCA inspectors, which lots of people are familiar with, where they will kind of come to us with animals that they have had to have come in, and we'll go through the same process with them. We also do things like offer kind of financial help for people towards kind of veterinary bills, which I'll kind of go into a bit more later as well. Yeah, we do things like events to help kind of raise money for the animals, and what we do. We do quite a lot of things here. We have lots of little pockets of things that we're getting on with. I think the main thing to kind of help people recognise is we are local and we are independent. As much as we work alongside the National RSPCA, we do have our own kind of independent branch here and what we're doing in the local community.
Oh, that's interesting. I think most people probably don't realise that there's local branches.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably the thing that the RSPCA might be most known for is rehoming animals. Could you tell us any stories or any insights about the kind of the rehoming process that from your point of view?
Yeah, so the process itself is once an animal is kind of cleared by our vet that they're well enough to find a home, we'll then go through the process of advertising them on our website. People can then look on our website and see what animals we have available for rehoming and then apply for them. We'll then get in touch with them and we'll proceed with a home visit with them, make sure that, you know, they're compatible with each other, and then they can meet the animal, and if all goes well, they can then adopt the animal and take them home. So yeah, that's kind of the process that we go through.
You must have met so many animals during your time here. Are there any particular animals that stand out and you can remember their journey of being rehomed?
I am a massive cat lover, so a lot of the time the first ones that ping in my head are cat-related ones. We had a cat called Charlie that came to us in 2022, I think it was. He came to us as a stray. He was in a bit of a state when he first came to us, bless him. And it took us quite some time to get him well, so he had kind of various health problems. He was having things going on with his heart, his skin, and then he had kind of bowel-related issues. So he really was going through all of it, bless him. We ended up having him in our care for about 3 years, and he was 6 when he finally got adopted, so he had spent half of his life with us. And we're very fortunate that we have fosterers that, you know, dedicate their time to have our animals in their homes, which means that for him he was comfortable and, you know, didn't really know any different. He eventually found his home kind of end of last year. Yeah, it's just amazing to see from what he looked like when he first came in and how poorly he was to finally see his happy ending of finding his people and being well enough to find his home. So he stuck out for me, and I think with them staying with us for that amount of time, you do become very invested in their story.
Do you become attached to certain animals because of their personalities or their experiences?
For sure. I mean, Charlie in particular, he was a character, so he had little things in his personality that would just stick out. But yeah, I definitely think when they've got... I mean, they all have different personalities, but there's certain ones that just stick out for you, for sure.
You mentioned that you're particularly drawn to the cats. Mm-hmm. What's the variety of animals that are rehomed here?
So we're mainly domestic animals. Cats are kind of one of the big ones that we do have here. But we also have dogs, small animals. So we have things like rabbits, guinea pigs, and things like hamsters, gerbils. Rats we've seen quite a lot of in the last year as well. But we do on occasion have some out of the ordinary sort of everyday animals. So occasionally we'll have reptiles and things through here as well.
In the hospitals, we have things called pat dogs. So they are... Well, actually, they're not all dogs, I'm lying. But they're mainly dogs. So they come into the wards. Patients and even staff will spend time with them and just stroke them, have that kind of moment with an animal. So we know that it really makes people feel much better. Mm-hmm. Have you got any insight into that?
Yes. Pets can have just such a huge impact on well-being. I think... having animals around us, especially when they're in the home, can give a sense of purpose and create routine for people. But also, like you say, in a scenario where they're kind of coming and being a comfort for people, it just helps provide that company in a way that isn't it so special that we have these connections with animals where we can't actually even talk to each other, but we just feel that, you know, warmth and connection with them. And I think that can just, you know, help people feel more at ease.
Many of our listeners will be in hospital and perhaps separated from their pets. Do you have any words of kind of encouragement or support to offer them?
One thing for me, if I have to spend time away from my animals, is just having updates from maybe the people that are looking after the animals for them whilst they're, you know, getting better. So things like being sent photos or shown, you know, videos, or if they have people visit and they're able to even do FaceTime calls, can really help them just feel a little bit more at ease, and, you know, that knowing that their animals are still there for when they come out and knowing that they're being looked after as well. But yeah, I can appreciate it must be really hard to be away from your animals, especially when you're not feeling well.
For people who haven't taken the plunge and haven't had a pet before, would you have any advice for them about the kind of things that they might want to think about?
There would be some kind of questions that I would get them to kind of consider for themselves. So, does an animal fit into your lifestyle? If they're considering adopting a dog, for example, they can only be left for a limited time in the day. So, do they fit around your kind of your lifestyle and your work schedule? And do they have time to dedicate to their new animals? It can take time for them to settle into the new home, which can take a bit of encouragement from the new owners to get them to feel comfortable in the new home. Would they fit into their home in terms of if they already have any other pets? You know, if you've already got cats, sometimes it can be a little bit tricky to get them to get on to begin with. If they have children in the home, is it an animal that's going to be compatible in a family home? And one of the big ones is the financial aspect of pet ownership, considering that element of taking on a pet, things like, you know, their food and their monthly flea and worm treatments, and if they were to get unwell. So just taking that into consideration before adopting an animal as well.
You mentioned earlier that there's a home visit involved in the adoption process. Mm-hmm. So if somebody does have pets or children, would they have the opportunity to meet the animals as part of the process?
Yeah, absolutely. So especially with having children, we do encourage on a meet of the animals to have the children come along as well, just to make sure that they are compatible with each other, make sure the animal isn't nervous of the children and vice versa. We do sometimes have animals that are better in an adult only home, for example, so we'll always try our best to make sure that the animal that's being adopted to that home is a compatible fit. Other pets can be a little bit more tricky sometimes. I mean, definitely with dogs, if we're rehoming a dog to a home with another dog, we do do have that as an element of the home visit where they do need to meet each other. But with cats, that can be a little bit more tricky. So we just try and get as much information about their current cat and make sure that, you know, the cats that they're interested in adopting from us are compatible to be with other cats, because some of them just prefer to be on their own.
Just like people.
Yeah.
The process of a new animal kind of being adopted and welcomed into the home, how does that go? Because I'm just thinking that maybe the change of environment might be a bit stressful mm-hmm. for the animals as well as something for the people to adapt to.
Yeah, it definitely can be. And it's just being open-minded that it can take time for them to settle, especially if the animal has had any difficult experiences in their past. It might take them a bit longer to settle, or maybe they've spent their whole lives being astray. If it was a cat, for example, that they might just take time to get used to being in a home environment. It's just giving them the time that they need to settle slowly. And a lot of the time, again, I'm talking about cats a lot, but a lot of the time with cats, we do recommend having like their own room to begin with, just for the first few days, just to help that settling in process. And yeah, it just helps it be kind of a stepping stone for those animals, so it's not too overwhelming to have, you know, a whole house all in one go, especially if it's with a family. So yeah, just taking kind of those slow steps to help the animal feel comfortable in their new surrounding.
And if the new owner is feeling a bit anxious about that process, are you able to offer them any support as they get accustomed to their new friend?
Yeah, of course. So we have lots of advice, and we have online leaflets and things as well that we provide on the adoption. So we're always happy to try and give advice where we can. But sometimes if it can be more behaviourally related, we'll usually kind of recommend speaking to a vet just to make sure that they can get all of the right advice that they need.
For people who have had a pet for a really long time and are finding themselves in a difficult situation, maybe their financial situation has changed, or as you kind of were talking about earlier, their lifestyle has changed, and maybe they don't have as much time as they did before. Are you able to offer any support for people who need to kind of talk through or think through what their options are in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, we do have our reception here that's open Monday to Friday. So, you know, if people want advice on what they can do to help their pets, we're always open to be that ear and listen to what people have to say. And if we have some advice, we'll give what we can. For sure, we appreciate at the moment, especially it's a difficult time, you know, for a lot of people financially and things. We do have ways that we can support people with that as well.
How would people be able to find out about that support if it was something that they thought that they might need?
A lot of our information of everything that we do is all on our website, so I would say that would be the best first place to look and see, you know, what exactly it is that we do and what we can do to help people.
If somebody is interested in supporting the RSPCA Norwich but doesn't have the ability to adopt an animal, you've obviously talked about some of the kind of fundraising things that they might be able to get involved mm-hmm. in. Is there any other ways they can offer their support?
Yeah, so even attending the events can help support us. So even, you know, if we had, for example, a little raffle or tombola, every little bit of money towards it can help us. We also do have charity shops around Norfolk and Suffolk. The locations of those is we've got two in Norwich. So there's one on Magdalen Street and there's one on Queen's Road. We have one in Attleborough, and then we've got one in Dereham, and then on the North Norfolk coast we've got Cromer and Sheringham. Donating anything that is no longer wanted that we can then sell in our shops is supporting us as well, and then doing any shopping in the charity shops is support. People can donate any unwanted items directly to us at our headquarters, so things like towels and blankets that we can use for the animals, or any unopened food, we can then use that for our animals or put it towards our food bank that we do. And even something as simple as just sharing stuff from our social media to raise awareness and help, you know, even help animals find homes if we've got posts of animals that are looking for homes. So there are many other ways that people can support us without adopting if they're not in a position to do so.
Lots of people might have seen stories in the news about some of the animals that the RSPCA have rescued in the past. Mm-hmm. Have you got any thoughts about kindness towards animals and our kind of our responsibility to look after the animals in our care?
The RSPCA campaign is for every kind. Basically, the idea around that is every animal deserves kindness and respect. All animals, as small as, you know, the bees and bugs, they're part of our ecosystem. And just considering small things that we can do to protect all animals in our community will help as a whole. All animals getting the kindness and respect they deserve.
Is there anything else that you think I should have asked you about or that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I do have a couple more, like, memorable moments.
Oh, lovely. Yes,
those.
Please. Definitely. Yeah.
Again, another cat one. But we had a cat called Levi who really struggled in the cattery environment once he came into our care. So his personality, bless him, he was quite hard for us to manage. He was really unhappy. So his way of dealing with that was he was quite aggressive, bless him. So we wanted to find him a home as soon as possible to try and make sure that we could help relieve his stress and get him back into where he felt comfortable. We were really lucky to find him more of like a farm style home where he absolutely thrived, and we've been very lucky to get some updates from his adopters where he's just having a great time running around in the fields with all of our other animals. So it's just really nice sometimes when you see animal personalities in a rescue environment. It isn't always necessarily a true representation of what that individual is like the rest of the time, and just kind of bearing in mind that they can be really kind of scared or stressed when they're initially with us. So it's really nice when we get those happy endings where we saw that he was just not doing well in a cattery environment, and then once he was back into where he felt comfortable, he just absolutely thrived, which is really nice.
Do you get many opportunities to hear about the animals in their new homes?
We usually will do a follow-up check maybe kind of about a month after they've adopted an animal, just to make sure that everything is all going okay and they're settling well. So a lot of the time on this catch-up, we'll get sent lots of photos or stories, which is really nice for us to see that final happy ending for them. Sometimes we'll even get updates many years on. So it's really nice that we definitely encourage, if people adopt from us, to keep us updated on how their animals are doing, because it's really nice for us here to see that bit.
Yeah, well, that must make your job feel so worthwhile.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you have any more stories for us?
The only other story I had written down, which is a bit of a different one, and it was on the news at the time that it happened, but we once had a 6-foot boa constrictor brought to us here at the office out of the blue. That was quite a shock for us because it's not something that happens every day. He is still looking for a new home, so he should be on the website soon. But yes, he's a very special animal which will need, you know, someone who has some expertise in looking after reptiles and snakes. So yeah,
what kind of home is a 6-foot boa constrictor looking for?
As big as possible. Yeah, they need quite a lot of space, especially, you know, with being that size, they need to be able to move around, and they also need things like the heat lamps and stuff in there to keep them good temperature. It's definitely more experienced pet for somebody.
Yeah. So if somebody's thinking, I'd love to have a 6-foot boa constrictor and have just the home for them, or maybe something like a cat or a guinea pig, what's the best way for them to find out about the animals that are in need of a new home?
Again, it would be on our website. So we update our website on Wednesdays of new animals that have become available for rehoming. So that's a good day to have a look and see what animals have come available to be rehomed. The best place to have a look if they're interested in adopting an animal from us.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.